Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands and the house of Tagarna to the north quarters and all his bands and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into a land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people. Against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud that covers the lands, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up unto the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without wall and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land.
Thank you very much. Driver Peg there, Brother Dale's class. I think it was your dad when he was in the service.
I didn't bring that up. Go ahead. Yeah.
When you're in the military, you have a dog tag. And the military says you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. Until I ran into a little guy named Strum. And he said, I'm not a Catholic, I'm not a Protestant, I'm not a Jew. And went, what? I'm a Baptist. For the devil.
Well, no, I think you're, because in World War II, that was the options. Since the Korean War, I believe, is what it was. And I believe Ashcraft, you guys didn't have that book, I believe we'll find a page where our brethren, can I use this, Bogart, Simon, however you want to say it, our brethren were Reich's congressmen, et cetera, saying, we are Baptists. The dog tags say, well, what's the big deal? Smack your gun. A Baptist is not Protestant. So, yes, thank you. There's more to this.
Yeah.
They took up, Brother Martin, they took up Baptist churches in this country, took up and wrote letters, Brother Barnett, to our presidents, to what they did to concerning a couple of other issues during that same decade.
Yeah,
those embassy at the Vatican, as well as the election and nomination of a Catholic president for the United States.
Interesting times we live in. Now, why are we in Ezekiel 38? Did anybody see anything that related to Ezekiel 38 since we had class last? Really? Did anybody hear about this? Syria. Wow. Okay, this is going to be a good education for you. We'll be greatly dividing into current events. Syria. Here's Israel. North is Lebanon. This is Syria. Here's Iraq, Iran. This is Turkey. This is Russia. And this is Greece. Now, Syria, in the last week, had something interesting happen. The rebels that had been thought to be extinguished rapidly attacked Aleppo, which is a town in the very farther north of Syria. They overran Aleppo, seized Aleppo, the number two largest city in Syria. They're proceeding south, heading toward Damascus. Damascus is the site of the king's throne there, And he's supported by guess who? Russia and Iran. These rebels are an amorphous group of a lot of... Yeah, let me back up. When you have a foe, you can fight with a lot of people by your side. Brother Dale's class was talking about us. We fought alongside a lot of other Protestants. Not saying that we're Protestants, but there's a lot of other Protestants of various ilks fighting with us. Muhammad himself, excellent point. Exactly. You have a common enemy, you figure out a way to get along with everybody till you get the foe defeated. Now, these rebels are a conglomeration of a lot of things. Seems like the primary leader of them, or the main group, is a group called HTS. And the United States says that they're a terrorist group off of Al-Qaeda. They say they're not. They attacked and took over Aleppo. They proceeded south and have taken over Homs and have taken over Homs, three of the five largest cities in Syria, proceeding down to Damascus. Now, as soon as Aleppo fell, guess what the king of Syria did? He left the country. Guess where he went? Moscow. Nearly flew to Moscow. He has the support of Russia. His other ally is Iran. Iran has pledged to put troops into Syria. Russia is currently bombing in Syria. By the way, do you think that we have boots on the ground in Syria?
Yeah.
We have at least 900 soldiers in Syria, in the northeast corner of Syria. And we had 8-10 warthogs take out some rebel positions because in the melee going on in the country, they decided to maybe roll in town to take a shot at us, and we took them out. But we're in there as well. Russia is bombing in Syrian support, and Putin has come out and said Syria has the full support of Russia, the full support of Russia. Now, why would this be an issue? Why does this involve Ezekiel 38? Well, look at verse number 4. I'll turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. And all thine army and horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling sword. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, putting hooks and pulling them forth. We have, up here is Ukraine. We have Russia in a death fight with Ukraine. They're expending their resources at a tremendous rate. Their economy is tanking. The floor of the ruble has fallen out. You know how many rubles it takes to make a dollar now? Over 100.
Whoa.
The ruble is worth less than a penny. That doesn't give you much buying power. Ruble is, we have a dollar. Their currency is called a ruble. Every country has its own currency. Theirs is called a ruble. Now, speaking of that, Syria has their version of currency called a pound, the Syrian pound. Their economy has tanked tremendously. Guess how many Syrian pounds it takes to buy a dollar? 17,500. These countries are in trouble. Russia has said they will support Syria. Now, one of the reasons Syria is important to Russia is they've got two military bases, one seaport and one air base. We talked about the air base here, well, a few weeks ago, Israel took a shot at it. There's another big reason. What's the primary income for Russia?
Oil.
Their primary customer was, guess who? Europe. Even now, even with the sanctions, even now Russia is putting oil into some of the European countries under the EU and the US as a guidance that says if you can't get any energy from anywhere else, we'll let you continue to buy it. Well, would you be surprised to know that for many, 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 many years, Saudi Arabia has been wanting to buy, to lay pipe line into Europe? Russia knows that when that pipeline goes in, they've been the vast majority, because Russia has pipelines going into Europe. When those pipelines from Saudi Arabia goes in, their income goes down. They're already hurting. What stopped the pipeline? The king of Syria. So why is Russia willing to do anything to keep that Syrian king there? Because their life would depend upon them not having pipeline. Now look at this. Look at how this plays out. Oh, by the way, there's one clink in this being exactly Ezekiel 38. Maybe, maybe not. The major support for this organization called HTS is, they're saying, Turkey. Turkey is Togo. Now, whether or not that's accurate or not, we don't know. But that's what's being reported. But even if it is accurate, it doesn't take but a second for an organization to get turned on and to be ousted. Remember the guy, the head of Wagner? The military, paramilitary organization that Russia has? He decided to pull a coup and then Russia killed him. So now you have these hooks put in Russia. She's been pushed back, hooks put in, being drawn out. Look at verse 7. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. And as the thus saith Lord God, it shall also come to pass, at that same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. So they're coming down. Interesting enough, Syria's to the north. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Damascus. Doesn't take a whole lot of thinking that Russia comes down with force into Syria. We have we have 900 forces in East Syria to fight what is the remnants of ISIS, fight terrorists. We've been there for many years. We still are actively there. Russia's there, supposedly doing the same thing, but ostensibly to keep the king in power, Hussein. This becomes important because Russia, according to Ezekiel 38, with its allies is coming down, and Syria is just north of Israel. Damascus, just north of Jerusalem. They're coming down there, and when they get there, Russia looks a little bit further.
Yep. Look down there.
Thus saith Lord God, it shall come to pass, verse 10, that at that same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely. You know this battle that Israel's been doing with Hezbollah? They entered into a ceasefire a week and a half ago. So that's holding off and on. What is Israel saying? That they've decimated Hezbollah, by the way. Just absolutely decimated Hezbollah.
Sure.
Israel says, we're going to fight until our people can go back home and dwell safely. And now they've got to cease fire. Hezbollah says, we'll move to the north. We'll leave a buffer here for the UN and other nations. So Israel will get nice and quiet. Russia's going to come down into the north area, and when they get there, they're going to look over and say, look, Israel's quiet. Israel's got all these resources. Verse 11, thou shalt say, I'll go up to the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, Sheba is Saudi Arabia, and the merchants of Tarshish, the EU basically, with all the young lions thereof, that's the United Kingdom's nations, that's Great Britain, Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Brother Josh.
Remind me what you said, what their natural resources, what's their, what's their most precious?
Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah, oil.
Deuteronomy 33, verse 24, then comes to my mind and is interesting.
Oh, Asher, the oil of Asher?
Down, yeah. Asher will dip, one of the prophecies, Asher dipped his foot in oil.
Yeah. This all begins to play out. We see Russia, you know, conveniently, the United States is not saying a thing about Russia bombing in Syria. We're bombing in Syria. Everybody's got their own little, you know, groups they're protecting and supporting. Russia comes down from the north with all of her allies and gets down there and looks at Israel, and they're drilling safely. That's what Ezekiel 38 says. What's happening today? Israel is fighting Hamas and they're fighting Hezbollah, entered into a ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah. Things are quietening down in Israel. But things are heating up to the north. And in the north is a Russian ally that Russia said we will support full-heartedly with all of our resources. Ezekiel 38 says they're coming down with their allies. Are we close to Ezekiel 38? The only glitch in this whole thing is Turkey supporting HTS. But I can't tell you honestly if they are or not. That's just what's being reported. But even if they are, it doesn't take but a moment for that to turn. Exciting times. Being able to rightly divide the Bible, key to it all. Any questions on that? Yes.
I was just going to ask a quick question about that. I read something about BRICS the other day.
Yes.
That had something to do with
BRICS. Has anybody else heard of BRICS?
What do you mean?
It's not what you build houses out of.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
BRICS is, it's a economic organization, sort of like the G7. G7 is the seven strongest economies in the world, United States, Great Britain, France, and others. BRICS is Brazil, India, Russia, China. Now with five other nations, South America being among them. They want to go away from the common currency of the world right now, the United States dollar. Which makes the United, like us, love us, hate us, you gotta deal with it. And one of the reasons the United States dollar is so strong is it's the trading currency of the world. Well, Russia has convinced India and Brazil and China to move away from the dollar and not use it as the currency, which is problematic at best. Because Donald Trump to say, you do that, and we'll put 100% tariff on you. So, we got a lot of pieces playing, all of them playing exactly into Ezekiel 38. Any other questions? This is taking the Bible and applying it to current facts of what you're seeing on the ground.
Brother Mike, do we hear anything about the United States in Assyria there to the northeast, you said?
Yeah, we're in the northeast of Syria.
Has there been anything said about them, like their mission or
their
pulling
mission,
out?
Or? No, they are not pulling out. We are embedded into Syria. We'll stay in Syria for the long haul because the mission is to defeat ISIS and terrorist organizations.
Yeah, we're after ISIS.
Now, we've defeated ISIS, but ISIS is like a cancer. It springs forth. This rebel organization, anybody remember the Arab Spring 2011? Arab Spring in 2011 went through the Arab nations, overthrew the governments of Libya and Egypt and several others, and it was almost overthrew Syria, and the rebels fought from then, and almost overthrew Syria, and in 2016, the Russians came in and just laid waste. Aleppo was laid bare, not a building left standing, bombed into oblivion. The humanitarian crisis, over 14 million people displaced in Syria. 14 million people displaced. After 2016, the king only controlled at this point, as of last week, it was 60% of the country. Now it's much less because the rebels have sprung back to life and have taken Aleppo and Hama and Homs and is moving rapidly to the south. And if they're going to, Russia's going to keep this, let me back up. The king and the Syrian government at this point do not have the power to stop the rebels. They have seized enough weapons and control and ammunition to feed their forces going south. The government forces have just been abandoning outposts, turning over and running. If Russia is truly going to support the king, they're going to have to do something fast. They can make a lot of decisions. They can say, we don't care, we got enough on our plate, we're going to deal with it. That's usually not the way Russia handles things.
I have another question.
Okay.
Can you go over verse 13 again? You said Sheba, Saudi Arabia, the Young Lions, or U.S., Canada, Australia is obviously.
Yeah.
And who's, what's Dedan?
Dedan, off the top of my head, I think is the United Arab Emirates.
And then Barnes?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's Yemen. Yemen's to the south of Saudi Arabia. No. Don't think so.
Kuwait.
What's that?
Kuwait, Yemen.
Kuwait. These countries that border Saudi Arabia. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Lebanon part of Iran?
No, Lebanon is part of Persia. Which is interesting because the ancient kingdom of Persia encompasses Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon.
Wow.
And in the Muslim world, there are Shiites and Sunnis. And only Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon is of the minority branch of the Muslim. So the devil.
You sure, but they hate each other.
Yes. Yeah. Hey.
Like Santa. And did you share with us that one group is like 90%, it's like 10, it's like it's not a balanced group, it's...
Yes.
Which one is the 10%?
The Shiites, forgive me because I'm shooting off the top of my head here. I believe the Shiites are the majority, and they are 90% of the Muslim world. The Sunnis are 10%. Now, if you remember back, maybe you don't, probably not old enough, but in the 1990s, Iraq and Iran was at war. How could these be at war? Ezekiel 38 says they're going to be united. But surprisingly, they had a dictator called Saddam Hussein. And he was Sunni. And he went, or was it the other way? He was of the majority pushing against Iran. And the Jews were selling arms to both sides. To the Jews, this was the greatest thing. We make money and they kill each other. What's to not like? Once we got the United States in our ultimate wisdom, we went in, overthrew Saddam Hussein, and then said, we'll give you democracy. And they said, thank you very much. We hate you. Get out. And we're going to Iran. And we went, no, you don't understand. We're for the Statue of Liberty, democracy. You're supposed to love it. And they went, yeah, about that. We hate you. Always hated you. Didn't you hear us saying that? Now get out. And Iran goes, we didn't have to fire a bullet this time, and we got the whole nation. Yes.
And helping us with all your materials.
Yes. Now, I think it's the Sunnis, I believe, there are the majority.
Sure.
What's that?
Yes.
You got the... Oh, thank you.
What's that? Never wrong.
You got confirmation.
Now, interesting enough, Iraq yesterday came out with their own position. We will not let Syria stand alone. Really? They stand between Syria and Iran. And Iran sending troops. Guess where they're coming from? They're coming through. They're coming through Iraq. And there's United States position far north of Syria. Anything else? Ripped from the headlines. Vehicle 38 right in our own backyard. Playing out right in front of us. Should be exciting. And it's about the time you think, oh, everything's quieting down. Everything's, nothing to report here. Kablooey, it's right there. And you got to stare at it for a little bit and go, oh, that's Syria. That doesn't play any important part. Really? They're coming down from the north. And they get right north of Israel. And then they go, oh, look at Israel.
County.
Israel economy is tremendous. Particularly compared to Russia. After what Russia's gone through for the last 2 or 3 years, Russia's hurting. Russia is. When you've got to go to North Korea to get ammunition and men, you are hurting. Can you imagine the United States being in Afghanistan and telling another country, we don't have the ammunition to keep the war in Afghanistan going, and we don't have enough men to send to Afghanistan. You've got to send them. That'd be kind of revealing, wouldn't it?
When Russia's on, we would have to do something. And there's a thing that, and there's like an old saying, desperate folks do desperate matters.
Oh, wisdom coming from Jax. He said, there's an old saying that says, desperate folks do desperate things. Russia's getting desperate. Russia's been desperate, getting more desperate.
So soon they're going to be swindling offers.
What's that?
Soon they're going to be doing anything they can get their hands on.
Yes. They've been threatening to use tactical nuclear weapons because their ground forces in Iraq, or Iraq in Ukraine, have not been making the advances, and it's been a meat grinder for them. It's playing out. Russia's coming down, and it needs resources. Israel is going into peace.
That's who?
It could happen any time. Ezekiel 38, us hearing a trumpet, amazing time. Anything else on that? Okay. The fundamentals. I know you're sick of this, but you know what I want you to do? If I say A, B, C, D, E, what comes after that? How do you know that? You memorized this. It's part of you. 2 + 2 = what? Where'd you come up with that? How come you don't have to sit there and write it out, figure it out? It becomes inherent in you. It becomes part of you. I want these rules of rightly dividing to be inherent in you so that you, without thinking, when you open Ezekiel 38, when you go to John 3:16, when you open any verse of the Bible, you have this at play in your mind. So you don't even have to stop and think about it. You know it. So if you read Ezekiel chapter 38 and you read John 3:16 and you come up with some way they conflict, you go, wait a minute, I missed something. Rather than saying, oh, I just found something new. You back up because these rules are inherent in you. What's the first one here?
Providence.
No private interpretation. What does that mean? Go ahead, Brother Alex.
It means what it says. Like, it doesn't mean like something different for you than it is.
Excellent. Michael? Okay. Also, no verse stands on its own. Man, religion is good at that. You ever heard of somebody just opening the Bible, closing their eyes, opening the Bible, and putting their finger down and reading the verse and go, oh, that's God's message to me? I know a lot of people that do that. And it really has nothing to do with you. Read these verses in with these rules. What's the next one?
Bible's harmonious.
It's harmonious. Which we all know means if you listen real carefully, you can hear it singing softly to you. What does harmonious mean?
Agreement.
They're in agreement. What's another way of saying that?
Without contradiction.
Without contradiction. This is new in religion. Religion will clearly tell you the Bible has contradictions. The Bible's harmonious. We say it's without contradiction. Why is the Bible without contradiction?
Start and stop.
Very right on.
Very word of God. It's the very word of God. So what's the big deal about being the very word of God?
God can't lie.
Thank you. God can't lie. Why is the Bible without contradiction? Because it's the very word of God. He can't lie. Notice how insipid this becomes when you begin to get other versions of the Bible. I know Brother Dale teaches on this and does a great job with it. So here's an interesting thing. Anybody know about copyright laws? If you use a lot of these other versions of the Bible, you'll find that they're copyrighted, which means that the owner of the copyright has the right to sue anybody that uses their work without permission. Now, the thing about getting a copyright is it has to be an original work. So when you flip open a non-King James version and you see copyrighted 2024 by such and such organization, what they are admitting to you is they are the original authors of that work. What they're telling you is it is not the very word of God. They have changed it to make it their word, even though they say it's the Bible. Brother Eli.
Don't they have to change it something like 10% to be able to recopyright it?
They have to change it substantially enough to make it substantial different. Maybe 10%, maybe not. It depends upon what's being changed. So that's a big issue with inventions. You know, you come out with the new doohickey, and the next guy comes out with the doohickey and one lever. And you go, well, that's my doohickey with a lever. And they go, yeah, we think it's substantially different than they can do it. And you go, well, that's messed up. I represented the inventor of the electric guitar jack, Mike. So in the 60s, if you remember all rock and roll concerts, you had the guy standing on stage just strumming away. Then comes the 70s, and they're running across the stage with the guitars and stuff, all because of my client's mic, on the jack that he made, and the copyright we had on that. God's word is not copyrighted because God's the author. When we say it's harmonious, when we say it's without contradiction, sometimes we forget what the meaning of that is. We mean it's the very word of God. Religion will tell you the Bible has contradiction. The religion will tell you that there's mistakes. The mistakes are their doctrine. It is indeed the very word of God. What's important about that? God can't lie. If God can't lie, his word, that makes sense. It's without contradiction. That's harmonious. Now, the last one is. Now, is that all you need to know to rightly divide?
No.
What does that say?
Is that it?
No.
Text. Content.
How many?
Five. The third one is
context.
There you go, Jack.
Yeah.
Context. We'll get to that.
Who was speaking to?
This you'll be taught in secular education. It's vital that you understand this.
Who was talking to?
If you don't get this down, you will not understand a blooming thing. But when it comes to the Bible, this won't get you all of it. You need to know it's of no private interpretation. It's harmonious without contradictions. The very word of God. God can't lie in the Old and New Testament support and check each other. You add this to this, then you have wisdom. And tomorrow we'll get into looking at, we'll jump ahead and look at context. Any questions? Stand and ask for blessing on the request.